And we can grieve him because he's so holy. And we're more worldly than we think. And so the Holy Spirit was grieved. So the Lord told Moses, he said that I'm going to withdraw my intimate sense of my intimacy and my presence from my people. I'm not going to manifest myself in the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night anymore. Now, I'll still bring them into the promised land. They'll still get there, just like you'll still get to heaven, so to speak. But you won't have that great sense of my presence and my power being poured out. And Moses would have no part of that. He told the Lord he was not willing to settle for such withdrawals of God's manifest presence and power. And so beginning in Exodus 33, if you'll turn there, we see Moses really courting the return of the manifest presence and power of the Lord. Now, I believe that this withdrawal of God's manifest presence and power is the greatest problem in churches in the 21st century. I believe that that is the greatest need for Christians, for churches in the 21st century. And I believe that we should be like Moses and not be willing to put up with that, not be willing to allow that, but that we should court the presence and the power of God and the restoration of this mighty and awesome power that the choir sang about, that we hear about in times past. And I want to say this is what real men and women of God should be seeking in our day. And my message, therefore, tonight is you should court the presence and power of God. Exodus 33, 7 through 11. I want to say three things about that tonight. You should court the presence and power of God. Number one, by choosing leadership that encourages you for it. Look what it says in verse 7 of chapter 33. It says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." Now, I'm thinking of Pastor Ware, our first pastor, my best friend in college. And he said these words, "Leadership must lead and followers must follow. Leadership must lead and followers must follow." Now listen, the sin of Israel, God's people, under the leadership of Moses was that they got into idolatry and got into adultery and fornication and bad music and nakedness and immodesty and all of that. And Moses was angry at it. And he was very upset at it. And he went down with the Ten Commandments and broke them. He was upset. And Moses, you notice here, he went to God because God had told him, "I'm going to withdraw. I'm not going to totally withdraw, but I'm going to withdraw my intimacy, my manifested presence in your midst that defines you from other people. And you're not going to have so much of me. I'm going to send an angel to guide you up there to the promised land." And Moses said no. And then what he did was he did something that took the leadership to show that he was seeking back the presence and the power of God in the midst of the people of God. He was courting God's presence. You know, I remember as a young Christian, I went to Bible college. I went to Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit. And I remember many of the professors and the Christian leaders were not really courting God's presence. They were not seeking the old-time revivals. They were not seeking the old-time soul-winning power. They were not seeking the old-time sense of God's presence and answer to prayer. And I remember my heart was touched by a young man my age who went outside the camp, who went outside the leaders in the college and went outside the leaders in the churches in that area and went outside of it and met with God in with his King James Bible and met with God in prayer, and he was getting things from the Bible and he was sharing them with me, and my heart began to burn within me, and I followed this guy because he was a leader. And why was he a leader? Because he was courting the presence and power of God, and revival. And that's why our church is called Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I'm the one that proposed the name Scranton Revival Baptist, but I did it because of the leadership of the church, and I knew that was his burden, and it had become my burden. Would to God it would be your burden. Would to God you would court that in your life and do that. Now, this tabernacle that Moses set afar off from the camp, outside of the camp, because of the sin that was in the camp, because of the low living that had just gone on. And Moses wanted to court the power of God, so he knew God's holy, so he separated himself. By the way, we need to separate ourselves from any kind of sin and any weight that would slow you down. I had a weight in my life. It was a girlfriend in college, and God made me separate myself. She was a Christian girl and all that, but God said, no, you seek my face. And then that tabernacle, he set it up there without the camp, afar off from the camp. That wasn't the later tabernacle with the candlestick and the table of showbread and all that. This was a tabernacle, a place to set up to seek God. And, you know, there were most of the professors and most of the students at Baptist Bible where I went, they didn't have a glorious time in their Bibles each day. Now, they had Bible class and school went on, but they didn't have that time. Most of them didn't have an effective prayer life that stood out. In fact, when Tom Williams of Staff Evangelist came, his prayer life and his walk with God stood out, and it was unusual. Dr. Wendell Kempton likewise stood out. It was unusual. And likewise, I saw our first pastor, Charlie Ware, went outside the camp, outside the norm, outside what people were doing, and he sought God. And just like Moses, he courted the presence of God. And you like need to be like me. I was choosing leadership that courted the presence of God. I was choosing Charlie Ware to be my leader. Later became my pastor. And he was my best friend in school. Interesting. And that's why I got my wife, because following him, I got closer to God. And my wife saw revival in me, and she wanted that. And God bless that. And so you need to court the presence of God by choosing leadership that encourages you, listen to me, and exhorts you to do that. What was the purpose of Moses setting up that place to meet with God? Here's what it says in verse 33 again. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord, went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. I like that. Tabernacle of the what? Congregation. What's he saying there? Anybody in the congregation can go out there. It's voluntary. Did they do it? No. Listen, you can get as close to God as you want. You can have as much of God's power and presence as you want. But the problem is many Christians don't want to go outside the camp and get that. They don't want to meet with the kind of leadership that courts the presence and power of God. A little bit uncomfortable with that. But I want to tell you, as a young man, that's what I had. And that's what I want. And that's what I come back to. How about some of you getting back to your first love? How about getting back to your first works tonight? And I'm saying that I don't just want to preach to you and say, seek the Lord. I want to demonstrate it in my own prayer time. That's what Charlie Ware did. I want to do that. And I remember the Lord has been stirring me again to get back to soul winning every day. I used to go soul winning every day until somebody professed to be saved, and I did it for 13 years straight. And I relaxed that and made a decision to do that. That was fine. But recently, God's been stirring my heart. You need to up your game. You need to up your game. You need to redeem the time. He's been stirring beg me, I said, to up my game. And so I made that decision about a week and a half ago or so. I said, Lord, I want to lead somebody to the Lord every day for the rest of the year. And God's been helping me every day to do that. By the way, Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We've been studying the book of Acts in Sunday school, and it's been a blessing to me. And I have been saying, oh God, write the book of Acts. Let it come out of the parchment of the Word of God and roll onto the pavement of fulfillment here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And so I've been challenged by that. And out of that, God challenged me to do that. How about you to up your game? How about God challenging you to court the presence of God by choosing leadership that encourages you to do what the leader does? And, you know, not only leading somebody to the Lord every day, not only having a profession of faith every day, but God caused me to say, I want to be like Hannah. And you say, how are you going to be like Hannah? And I'll tell you how I want to be like Hannah. Hannah cried out to God, I want to break out of barrenness. I'm ashamed of being barren. I'm ashamed that I can't have a baby. I want to have a baby. I want. And you know what? It's one thing to have a stillborn. It's another thing to have a trueborn, reborn child of God. I want more of that. Amen. I want more of that. I've had that in the past, and I've experienced it. And I know the difference between just giving the gospel and God opening hearts and changing lives. That's what I want, too. And then, not only that, I've been stirred. We're starting a new semester of soul winning. And the Great Commission is not just going out and giving the gospel and leading people to the Lord, not just baptizing them, although, yes, they get baptized. After you get saved, the first thing you ought to do is get dunked under the water, baptized. But third thing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The Great Commission, teach them. So I want to get a new trainee to go out with me. And I challenge you to choose leadership that courts the presence and power of God. That's what God will do if you get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. That's what He'll do. I've seen it. That's what He'll do if you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to do it. I've had it before, but I've been anointed with fresh oil. Amen. Let it happen again. It's what we need. And if we do, it's an irresistible force. P plus P equals if. Prayer plus preaching the gospel equals irresistible force. The book of Acts, friends. I'm believing God for it. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. So you should court the presence and power of God by choosing leadership in your life that encourages you. The blind follow the blind. You're both going to fall into a ditch. We know where we're going. I know where I'm going. Number two, by looking after leadership that is rewarded for it. Not only choosing leadership that encourages you for it, but looking after leadership that is rewarded for it. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Exodus 33. I'll read it. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. You know what God calls us sheep? You know we're sheep. And sheep tend to go astray. You know what? I couldn't help but think of people watching that pious platitude of a Marxist spewing lies and deceptions about this country. And I couldn't help but think of poor, deceived people that are going to go along with that and not realize that she doesn't do a thing that she says, and it's just a bunch of baloney. And you know what? I couldn't help but think about that. And we're a bunch of sheep, but guess what? Sheep, they can look after the shepherd and follow the shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. He was following God, and he was seeking God. We need some pastors that are seeking God above anything else. I'm talking about the presence of God. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the great commission of the Lord Jesus. Getting back to that movement. That's our movement. That's what we're supposed to, getting back to the old time religion, the old time standards, the old time gospel. Man, we need that today more than anything else. The old time King James Bible. We need a revival today.
Right.
We need it. The old time music. Man, I've been listening to those old quartets and music groups. I just put on my Google. Even Google doesn't know better than to stop me because I'm dumb. I just put on there, I want old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist singing music. And I'm getting it and just putting it on in my car, in my office. Amen and amen. It's good. And so I'm just saying, you need to be looking after leadership that is being rewarded for seeking God. And Moses set up the tabernacle, but he got rewarded for it. You say, what are you talking about? It says that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle.
Amen.
It wasn't just he had church, man. God showed up. I want God to show up. I just don't want to have a meeting and we get together, have a social club. I want to meet with the Lord. He is the living God. He is the Almighty. And His glory is still manifest in mighty revival times. And the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I don't know about you, but Wednesday's my day to pray and to do other things, man. And I did it today. What a day it was. It was a beautiful day. God gave me a beautiful weather day. And boy, what a blessed day I had early in the morning. It's been going on all day. I get that by faith, man. And I was meditating on Sunday morning's message in the mercy seat. It was good. I was chewing on that food. I was eating good food today. Chewing on it. And so I had a person send me a text after the debate last night. It says that Las Vegas changed their betting from Trump to Harris in favor of Harris. And I sent that person back this text. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then I said, get your popcorn. Get your popcorn. And I say to you tonight, get your popcorn. I prayed for wisdom about this election long, long time ago, many years ago. And I saw God put Donald Trump in there in 2016 for the help of the church. I saw the devil stop it in 2020. And I saw that God wanted to get God's people right with God to have him come back and win it. And that's where we are right now, beloved. And I'm going to tell you, as for me, I have not stopped believing God to do it all this time. And some ABC rigged debate where they five times gave fact-checking on the true president and zero times fact-checked her, and all of that tilting and the devil's work in there and all that goes on, and then all the deception and all of the lies, as this person was like an eighth grader that had been trained like a parrot to say all these things and just secluded themselves while Donald Trump's out there sweating and working, trying to deal with people. This person up there just shooting off a bunch of baloney.
Right.
I said, that's not going to stop me from believing my God and what I've been praying for. Las Vegas is not going to stop me. You see, what is going to do it? The person of God and the promises of God. And when God gives me some promises to lay hold of, I'm going to be God's bulldog and I'm not going to let it go. I just sink my teeth into it. And they tried to say right there, oh, you know, election fraud, that is a false thing. Oh, no, it's not. There was plenty of fraud, and more than they are claiming, let me tell you. That's why, well, I won't get into it. That's not my message tonight. My message is lay hold of God. Yep. And tonight, my message is to look after leadership that is getting rewarded for laying hold of Almighty God. So I've been blessed. I've been rewarded. I can understand. Moses, he had the pillar of cloud. He had the pillar come down. God's presence showed up. The people saw it. They said, man, our pastor, he prayed down the power of God. Wow, I can see the power of God's working in his life. That's what I want to have. I want to have, like Matt said, fresh testimonies of answers to prayer. When's your latest testimony of God doing something in your life? Man, that's what God wants. I was talking to a guy today. I called him up and I said, I got something about a family member I want to tell you. And he called me back and I said to him, he's a brother in Christ. I said to him, I said, you know, a family member that's an unsaved family member of yours, for a long time you've been praying for him, and a long time he's been not there for the gospel. I said, but I'm trying to get one every day. And I was looking on my cell phone, just different people that text me or called me. I just looked for somebody yesterday. And I found this guy, and I prayed for wisdom. I believe God wanted me to give him the gospel. I gave him the gospel, and he promised to pray to receive Christ right there that night. I said, praise God for that. I told this brother in Christ, he was thrilled about that. God's doing something through the prayer. God's doing something for the soul winning. We have prayed. We have prayed. We have fasted on Monday nights after the election in 2020 that God would put Trump back in. We have prayed. We have done things. And we've had a Revival Seekers prayer meeting to add to our Wednesday night to pray for revival and pray that God would judge the evil systems with Biden and that machine. It's not Biden or Harris. It's a machine. It's a machine that you're against. And I'm not afraid to say it. We prayed against it. Christ prayed to curse the fig tree. You know what the fig tree was? A political corrupt system that was over Israel that rejected the true Messiah. And Christ prayed to curse it, and boom, it was cursed just like that, shriveled up. Where is your power in prayer? I'm saying you should court the presence and power of God, number one, by choosing leadership that encourages you to do it, and looking after leadership that is being rewarded for it. And that's the leadership you should choose. And we prayed for that. And guess what? Trump rally came here. 4,000 people showed up. Out of all the pastors and out of all the churches, which church and which pastor was chosen to lead in prayer at that rally? Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Right, Julius? You see, God rewards prayer. He rewards it. He says, you go in secret, I'll reward you openly. And he does that, beloved. I'm talking about being somebody that demonstrates it. That's what we need to be, and to demonstrate it so that people can see it. And I'm saying I've experienced the rewards of seeking God out in faith diligently and staying with it. Some people do a little bit, they quit. They do a little bit and quit. Hey, I've been praying for 4 years for this thing to come, and I'm not aiming to stop, Brother Bob, until we get it. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, it says, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Not only did he go out there to seek revival, but God showed up and Moses experienced a personal revival. You know, right near here. How many know about the Delaware Water Gap? How many have heard of that? Delaware Water Gap. Right near here, there was a young man. He had, I believe it was tuberculosis after a while. He had problems with his lungs. He was spitting up blood, riding on a horse. He was going with the daughter of the president of Ivy League school, Jonathan Edwards' daughter. And this guy was a godly man. And he went out there to talk to the Native Americans that lived there. And he would pray. Sometimes he'd pray for an hour and nothing seemed to happen. He'd pray another hour and God would break through on him and fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. He had fresh baptisms of the power of God. And he would go out and preach, but he didn't even know the language. And so he got an interpreter, but the interpreter was drunk half the time. And he had to preach through a drunken interpreter. But the interpreter would speak as he preached. And these Native Americans got saved. Gloriously saved. I'm not talking about stillbirths. I'm talking about rebirths. I'm talking about changed lives. This is David Brainerd, my friend. A man, a young man in his 20s. Oh, good to God we had that back. How about praying John Hyde? John Hyde went as a missionary, I believe it was, to India. And he would pray and said, God, give me souls. Every day, give me somebody. And every day, God gave him one convert. Not just a profession. I mean a possession, a born again. And then he started praying for two a day. And God gave him two a day. And then he started praying for three a day. He got up to praying 8 hours a day. His knees had knobs on them and calluses. He would pray so much. And then he got up to 8 hours a day and had four people every day get gloriously saved through his personal soul winning. A missionary. Oh, would to God we'd have more Moseses that court the presence and power of God. By number one, choosing leadership that encourages you for it. Number two, by looking after leadership that is being rewarded for it. And the Bible says that's what happened. And I think of Gideon. Gideon, God spoke to him and he said, you know, Gideon, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put my hand on you. And here's what Gideon said. He said, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? Judges 6:13. Gideon said, I don't see it. But you know what? Gideon misquoted the word of God. God didn't say, I'm with you, plural. Was God with Israel, plural, in the days of Moses? Oh, no. No, he'd rejected him. But here's what God said to Gideon. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Once Gideon saw it was up to him to demonstrate the presence and power of God, he courted that and he received that power. And then he was able to lead a mighty minority of those that looked to his leadership and chose him to be a leader to victory. Oh, would to God we would court the presence and power of God like that. I'm saying I'm committed to it. And I'm saying that God is looking for you to be that one that will believe God, and one is a majority. God is looking for you to demonstrate by faith God's manifested presence and power through your yielded life. Young ladies, young men, men and women, you should court the presence and power of God, not only by choosing leadership that encourages you for it, by looking after leadership that rewards you for it and is being rewarded for it, by witnessing personally God's presence for it. I'd like you to look lastly at verse 10 and 11. I'll read it. Chapter 33 says, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. You know what? That'll get your attention. Have you ever seen the manifest presence and power of God? I have. And that'll get your attention. And it says in verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. You know, Billy Sunday used to just talk to God face to face. And he'd get up there to preach. The power of God would be upon him, upon the presence of the hall in which they were. And you notice in verse 10 that all the people had chosen to look after Moses. And Moses saw the manifest presence of God, and the people saw that God was hearing his prayer. And I think of another time when Moses met with God just after this on Mount Sinai. And he came down off the mountain. And do you remember what happened to him when he came down off the mountain? His face shined like the sun, and he had to put a veil on his face so the people could talk to him. I think of what it said about Peter and John. They took note that they'd been with Jesus. Do people take note of you? What's going on? Something special. I'll tell you, when revival happens, I heard of a revival. David Martin Lloyd-Jones talked about it in Europe, and there was a preacher who's just an ordinary pastor for decades. And like a lion, all of a sudden he started preaching. The power of God came on him. And it lasted, I don't know, maybe 2 years, and then it left. But during that time, what great things happened. During that time, I'm saying that's what we need today. We need to get that knockout punch of Satan. The power of God will provide that knockout punch. That's what we need. And I'm just saying it, that Moses had the power of God. Peter and John had the power of God. I went out to pastor school. I remember seeing that short, kind of shriveled up guy, Jack Hiles. But oh, the power of God in his life. Oh, the power of God. I remember him saying, "You will tell your children about this. You will tell your grandchildren about this." I remember telling my wife, and my wife seeing it, she said, "Something's happened to you." She said, "I heard bad things about Jack Hiles when I first came back." But she said, "You had such love in your heart and in your life when you came back. Something's happening there." Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And Jack Hiles, one time he was preaching, and I remember him saying this. It was a morning service, and he gave the invitation. Nobody came forward. No visible fruit. And he went back home, and he prayed all afternoon. He said, "God, what happened?" He said, "Give me back the power. Oh, Lord, don't leave me." And he came back Sunday night after he courted the presence and power of God. He preached, and there was a guy started crying in the back, started shaking, and got saved and came down the aisle. His life was changed. He said, "Thank God that power has not left the presence of the Lord." Charles Grandison Finney, Charles G. Finney, he had such power of God. He would walk into a factory, just one illustration, people start crying, came under conviction, and they got saved. The revival power of God. And Finney had a time where he seemed to lose that, just for a short time. He took time off. He laid everything aside. He went out in the woods and fasted and prayed and sought the power, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God gave it to him. God gave him that. Those are the signs following that we need to look for. Power of God to get people saved and lives changed. Billy Sunday had that. Jack Hiles had that. Finney had that. Many others. How about you? I don't care how you cut it. Get a slice of it. And you should want personally to witness the power of God's blessing upon God's man and his ministry in your life. You say, "What are you talking about?" I just want to call your attention to this in closing. Look what it says in verse 11. Look what it says at the end of verse 11. But his servant, Moses had a servant, a young man. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses was an older man. By the way, the Spirit in the book of Acts, your sons and daughters and your old men and your young men shall have this power of God. And his servant, Joshua, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses later on left. He went to paradise. God took him. And God said, "Joshua, I want you to lead the people." And what happened? The Bible says, as God was with Moses, so he was with Joshua. He was a young man, and he saw the importance of courting the presence and power of God. And he got that. Question is, do you see it? Do I see it today? I'm saying Joshua saw it and had it. I remember being with Charlie Ware, our first pastor. And I remember him saying, "Bloom, revival is here." I didn't see it. But I looked after him and followed him as he followed the Lord, and I started seeing the power of God. I started seeing what God did in Scranton in his life and ministry and in our church. And this church was born in a small revival. And I'm just telling you that I saw it, and I didn't know that I was going to be called to be the pastor of this church. I thought I was going somewhere else, be sent out from this church. But God chose me to be here. And I'm just saying to you, I am courting the presence and power of God. You say, why? Because I witnessed it personally in my best friend's life. And that's what you need. You need people in your life. You parents need your children to witness it. We need our Sunday school classes to witness it. We need the people that we witness to with the gospel to witness it. They need to, when we pray, they need to know there's something real going on here. They need to see it and witness it personally in your life. And that's what happened. And then when I went to pastor school, I witnessed it personally in the late 80s and throughout the decade of the 90s. And we saw some movings of the Holy Spirit here in the 80s and 90s. And I believe we're seeing it start to happen again. And so my message to you tonight is, you should court the presence and power of God by choosing leadership that encourages you, by looking after leadership that is rewarded for this, and by witnessing personally God's presence and power like Joshua did, a young man. Oh, I would that our young men don't see just a church that's dinging along, holding out to survive until the rapture. I want our young people to see a church that turns our Jerusalem upside down and that sends out people into our Judea and Samaria. I want to see it happen. You say, Pastor, you're getting old enough you could think about retiring. No, I'm not. I'm thinking about refiring. Did you hear me? I'm thinking about refiring. You say, how old was Moses? I don't know. He lived to be 120. I want to refire. I want to see some young Joshuas. Some young Joshuas that'll get the power and see us reach our Jerusalem. I don't want to just ding along. I want the book of Acts. Do you? Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.